Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It is Hit and Run. Russ Matera doesn't lie. He wouldn't. Russ is a good man and thorough. And we have been having some fun talking baseball in our two-team town. Talked to Ryan Terrio an hour ago about playing for great managers and some about the Cubs and the Cardinals and certainly some about La Russa. Ryan, a big fan of Tony La Russa. He said something like, if people stay out of Tony's way, he'll lead them to a title. Right? Is that a fair paraphrase?
If Tony is allowed to be Tony, and I'm not sure how possible that is, they will win the World Series.
Those were the words? Did he say, I'm not sure how possible that is?
He did. Yeah, he said, if Tony's allowed to be Tony, comma, that they'll win the World Series.
Wow. Well, they might win the World Series, and then people can decide whether it was because of Tony or not. There's been some good that he's brought. There's been some bad that he's brought. Some of those have been tangible. And then there've been the kind of things that just drive you crazy and drive a lot of people crazy and make you nuts and lead to angry rants and might not have that much effect on the ball games. They might. Because clubhouse chemistry is real and atmosphere providing is real. And the manager's got to do a great job of that. But sometimes a manager comes into a situation that's kind of already under control. And this White Sox clubhouse is very much under control. I hope somebody in that clubhouse, by the way, is talking to Yasmani Grandal about his awareness and about staying focused. Him bumping into Moncada on the pop-up, I can't get that out of my head. I cannot get it out of my head. There are certain things that managers do that are very specific and they work with a front office and they help solve things during the year. They like learn stuff and they think to themselves, I am seeing something, and they go back to their analytics department, or they go to the GM and say, who should I talk to? Because I feel like I'm seeing something. Or they know who to talk to because maybe they've got a guy on staff. A lot of people have this. A lot of teams have a guy on staff who is the bridge to the analytics department. And he's down in the dugout and he's there. Sometimes he's in uniform. Do the Rays still have that guy? Sean, do you remember this? It was Jonathan something, a Princeton grad, an analytics guy. It was the moment when I said, the nerds have won. They have declared victory because there was an Ivy Leaguer wearing a uniform as part of the coaching staff. Not that Ivy Leaguers can't be ball players. Of course they can. Kyle Hendricks went to Dartmouth. Do you guys know that? You probably did. But this was an analytics guy. This is a front office guy who has hung around enough that he is speaks beautifully with the ball players and communicates what they need communicated to the ball players, knows that each one is an individual kind of relationship, just like a hitting coach or a pitching coach. You have to know the personality and the learning styles of the guys you deal with. Same things for an analytics coach.
Jonathan Ehrlichman, process and analytics coach, also known as J Money.
Really? Okay, so that's Jonathan Ehrlichman, I think, of the Tampa Rays, and he's still a uniformed member of the coaching staff?
Yes, I believe so. He's still with the team and became the director of analytics in 2016 and then was named in 2018 the coaching staff's first process and analytics coach.
Process and analytics coach. I think that's awesome. This is not something to fear, not something to even deride, you know? You'll hear a certain guy say, well, the metrics or the analytics or the Saber, whoever. This is, it's a really instructive thing to understand what it is. All it is, and I've used this phrase for a lot of years, at its best, it's just quantifiable scouting. It's just scouting. You know, the scouts. And the scouts who have looked and said, boy, that guy, I don't know, if he's not hitting it hard lately. Just feel like he's not hitting it hard lately. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, let me do something with that. Now that scout who says, you know, he's not hitting it hard lately, can go to a computer program and see, oh, yes, his exit velocity is down by 12 miles per hour over the last 30 days, especially against righties. Huh. That's all that is. It's just scouting. And so having a guy who helps you communicate that stuff, some players want it. Some players don't, and that's totally cool if players don't want it, as long as they're succeeding. If they're not succeeding, then maybe they should think about it because it's just an added tool in the arsenal. That's all it is. This just crossed from Alex Spire, who covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe and is sometimes used on Nesson as one of their stat guys. But Alex Cora is one of these managers who's very, very steeped in the numbers and the analytics and is a great partner to the front office. I know he's a big part of a cheating scandal and there's all that, but just put that aside for a minute as I tell you this anecdote, okay? Alex Cora noticed this week, or as a couple weeks ago, that the Red Sox were struggling to turn weak contact into outs. He just kind of noticed it. Like he's watching the games and he's saying, man, guys are hitting the ball soft and that's not turning into an out. What are we doing wrong here? Feel like with all these dribblers, all these hang with ems that should be outs. They're not outs. And it's extending innings. It's causing rallies. What's going on? Okay, that's just a manager's eye. It's like a scout's eye. And then he goes and he talks with the analytics department and the coaching staff. So they all have a conversation. And the analytics department looked up and said, well, yeah, we can measure weak contact. Less than 80 miles an hour? Yeah. You know what? That's true, actually. Those are not turning into outs. So you know what the team did? They moved in the infielders against hitters who make weak contact. They can look at the hitters who they're facing and say, oh, those are weak contact guys. All right, well, let's move in against them. Instead of staying in our normal shifted position that we would, if these guys are weak contact, let's move them in. So Alex Cora has got a lineup card. He knows these are the weak contact guys. He tells Rafael Devers to move in, tells Xander Bogaerts to move in. So they move in. And they've been getting more guys out on weak contact. Before the Baltimore series, they were converting 65% of the weak contact hits into outs. After the Baltimore series, during and after the Baltimore series, they're now at 82% of converting weak contact into outs. Think about that. So that's how you use an analytics department. That's how you, as a manager, can use all the tools that are available. And that's why managers got to know about this stuff. You can't just put in somebody who doesn't know about this stuff, who doesn't want to work with this stuff. And if they've been out of the game for a while and they all of a sudden get back into the game, there's an educational curve. There is a learning curve that needs to take place where you're teaching them about this stuff, this new stuff that exists, and it's new from 5 years ago. For the best organizations, it's new from 3 years ago. There's even more stuff, a never-ending trove of stuff, and it can be overwhelming. But there's a learning curve to learn about it and learn how to use it. And it is hugely important and impactful, in my opinion, that a manager knows how to do that stuff. So I just thought that was a cool little nugget. And whether that is articulating the scouting or quantifying the scouting, that is all very, very valuable and important. And I hope that all the managers that matter in this town, both of them, are using everything at their disposal to try to make their teams better. Cubs and Cardinals, as I mentioned, is not until tonight. That is your night game. Before that, at 12:05, we get White Sox and Yankees. Dallas Keuchel is going against Jameson Taillon. And the Yankees have had a very, very good run here with the starting pitching. But Taillon is not. He's got a 5.73 ERA in 8 starts. He's only faced the White Sox once. That was all the way back in 2018. So this will be new to him. And White Sox bats have to get going. Rough one yesterday and a rough one Friday as well. White Sox have scored a lot for Dallas Keuchel. Last two times Keuchel's been out, 13 runs and 16 runs. And Keuchel historically has been very good at Yankee Stadium, 3-2 with a 2.45 ERA. I have your White Sox lineup for the matchup with Jameson Taillon and the Yankees. It is Tim Anderson. Jake Lamb is back there in the two hole. He's got a couple homers, a couple ribs. They've both been solo shots. He's hitting .188. Is Jake Lamb? It's not very good. But he does have a .350 on base percentage. I'll give him that. That's frustrating because I don't like this version of Jake Lamb very much. But anyway, there he is in the two hole. Yoan Moncada hits third. Abreu fourth. Yermín Mercedes hits fifth. The batting average is at .354 for Yermín. Adam Eaton sixth. Grandal, the catcher, down at 7. Billy Hamilton in at center field, hitting 8, and Nick Madrigal, according to Michael Kay. Apparently, John Sterling says Madrigal. What's the problem here, guys? This is not a hard one. You know, and right next to John Sterling, Susan Waldman should be able to help. Susan Waldman, an outstanding singer. I'm sure she knows what a madrigal is, the vocal form that I was mentioning earlier. Fun fact, Susan Waldman starred on Broadway opposite Robert Goulet in Man of La Mancha. I love that. And shifted her careers in the middle of her life. Very successful singer, Broadway star. And then said, you know, I've been wanting to be in baseball my whole life, wanted to be baseball and sports my whole life. Ended up on WFAN, now the longtime venerable voice of the Yankees. She's awesome. So there's your White Sox lineup. Tony La Russa talked about Adam Engel before the game. Engel close to coming back. Yes, Sean Anderson. I know he talked about Engel going to be playing.
Triple A. He's going to be starting off at AAA, and that the original diagnosis of a grade 2 strain was actually a grade 3.
Oh, so it was a grade 3. So it was a little worse. But now he's going to AAA for a rehab stint. That's good news. Wes Helms has a bunch of guys down there who are getting themselves ready to go, like Engel, or are returning to action. How about Jake Berger, White Sox fans? First action in, 3 years for Jake Berger? He's got 6 home runs in 13 games. He is thin. He looks wiry. And, man, what a bubbly, fun personality. And then the dude has had to deal with some awful, awful stuff. And now here he is. This is what I love about baseball. I mean, I love so much. But, like, I like the numbers and the scouting and the analytics plenty. But I love the personal stories so much. The Tommy Nance story for the Cubs, I just, it's amazing. It's wonderful. I saw today that Rick Sutcliffe followed Tommy Nance on Twitter and said, "This is cool. I get to follow Tommy Nance." And Tommy Nance is like, "Thrill is all mine, dude." Tommy Nance is 30 years old, and I hope that most people have followed this story and known this story. He had Tommy John surgery after college at Santa Clara and went undrafted. So undrafted after college, and then played around for a while. That was like, I think that was 2012, 2011 or 2012 after college. Then after he recovered, so that was a year and change, he plays around a few different spots, ends up in the Independent League, is playing for the Windy City Thunderbolts in Crestwood, Illinois. In 2015, Tommy Nance and his Windy City Thunderbolts teammates were driving to Wrigley every once in a while to watch baseball, seeing the Cubs play the Nats in 2015 from the stands like you or me. In 2016, the Cubs, having seen him in the backyard, said, "All right, well, let's sign you to a minor league deal. Let's check you out." So 25, 26 years old, Tommy Nance in 2016 signs a minor league deal with the Cubs. In 2017, he played at four different levels in the Cubs system. So he was kind of on his way up, and they were checking him out. They liked him. Then all of a sudden, there was a nerve issue in his shoulder that he couldn't figure out for a while, had to eventually get surgery and treatment for it. And already at that point, it had been a long run, right? It's been a long go for Tommy Nance. And so he wrote a journal entry of sorts on Twitter. It's still there, and it's making the rounds. Tommy Nance talking about fighting forward in his career, how he doesn't want to give up, how if he ever has kids and the kids ask him, "Daddy, why did you give up? Or why did your baseball career end?" He didn't want to tell them it was because he gave up. So he decides to keep going. After missing like a year and change with that injury, he's a reliever in 2019 at AA for the Cubs. So this is the seventh year of the journey for Tommy Nance. He's a reliever at AA in 2019. Decent stats, rising his way up. Probably would have started 2020 at AAA. Then pandemic, or a panorama, as my boy Shane Reardon calls it. But the pandemic happens, and Tommy Nance is shut down. Because he's him, and he's got the character and the work ethic, he worked his tail off during the pandemic as a minor league pitcher without any real minor league supervision. He's on his own, but he figures it out. This is the part I want to talk to him about. This is the part I want to get inside and figure out what was going on here. He pushed himself. He pushed his arm, pushed his limits through a lot, decided to just try and push himself and see what he could do. And got some advice, presumably. I don't know from who, whether it was. And this part hasn't been written about, so that's why I want to talk to him. He added velocity. He comes out of the pandemic with more velocity and better control. How? Tell me, Tommy. We'll get him on. So he comes out of the pandemic with more velocity and more control. Starts 2021 at the alternate site. Plays a little bit in Iowa. Looks good. Gets the call up. And now he's getting used in high leverage situations for the Cubs. Throwing 97-98 with movement and a couple of different nasty breaking pitches. A curve and a slider.
And with that slider, too, it maxed out spin-wise at 3,200 and averaged 29,000 RPM on the slider. That's the only other, pitcher who has averaged more spin on a slider is Bauer.
Wow. That's cool. So the only, wait, say it again. The only guy with more spin on the slider is Bauer?
Yeah, so 30-year-old Nance, this is from Cubs Insider, 30-year-old Nance maxed out his slider spin at 3,224 RPM and averaged 2,959 RPM on a slider. That's the only other pitcher in the MLB who has averaged more spin on that is Trevor Bauer.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so here's Tommy Nance. Part of an interesting Cubs bullpen loaded with their own kids. Keegan Thompson, still with a 0.00 ERA. 0.0 ERA for Keegan Thompson. Justin Steele, unfortunately, on the injured list with a hamstring. He was looking good. And now there's Tommy Nance. Crazy. So, easy guy to root for. And those kind of stories, I love. This is what you get on Sunday mornings, folks. I will talk to you about the practical application of analytics and how it really is just articulated or quantified scouting. And then I'll tell you the human story of Tommy Nance. That's pretty much baseball these days. It's all still there. It's all still mixed in. We're going to take your phone calls the rest of the hour at 312-644-6767. Still hoping for a conversation with Carlos Pena, but if something happened, we will reset it and do it again in a couple of weeks. Next week, I will not be here because I get, once again, to do pregame and postgame and play-by-play for the fifth inning on the Cubs Radio Network right here on The Score and elsewise. Get to work with Ron Coomer and Zach Zaidman as Pat Hughes will be doing the game on Marquee that night. So looking forward very much to that. That is a week from today. In between, I'll be practicing again. Be taking out the scorebook, watching games on the TV, doing a couple innings there at the coffee table, asking my wife to once again reprise her role as Ron Coomer. She's a terrible Ron Coomer. Ron Coomer is a far better Ron Coomer than my wife is a Ron Coomer. But somebody's got to talk while I'm writing in 6-3 in the scorebook. And there's a special note, always write in your scorebook. Folks, if you ever get a chance to do Major League Baseball play-by-play, make sure you write everything down in your scorebook as it's happening so you can just look down and be reminded of what's going on. Okay? All right, good talk. Your phone calls on the Cubs and the Sox coming up, and one of the absolute coolest rehab stories you'll ever hear. We'll get to that as well this hour on Hit and Run on The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And the lefty's opening pitch is swinging a high fly. Left field hit deep. Luke is back. He's turning to the monster. And this one is gone.
This
and Jake Berger, for the third time in this series, homers against the Bulls. And it's a 4-4 game in the sixth.
That's right in his wheelhouse.
There's the aforementioned Jake Berger home run. Man, I love having the minor leagues back. Absolutely love it. Guys can play. They can play organized baseball. Work on their skills. Showcase that they might be ready for a call-up. Just talked to you about Tommy Nance. There's Jake Berger in Charlotte. By the way, the Iowa Cubs are on Marquee today. 1 p.m. from Principal Park. The Iowa Cubs on Watch Marquee. I love that they're doing that from time to time, giving you a glimpse in and seeing what the AAA squad looks like as the Cubs and the Cardinals are a night game on ESPN. And right here, of course, on 670 The Score. It turned out earlier this week that somebody was the 20,000th player all-time in MLB history. Jose Godoy. Am I saying Godoy right? There's only one way to find out is to play the sound that Sean Anderson has grabbed in advance of this potential conversation.
Baseball Reference, they always keep a tally on how many major leaguers there have been. Well, we believe Godoy, in his major league debut tonight, becomes the 20,000th player in major league history. Congratulations.
Yes.
20,000 guys ever. That's it. That's not a lot. The major leagues have gone on for a long, long time. Expansion has happened a few different times. There's now 30 teams. They play this much. They move guys up. So, I mean, some teams, you got 25, 26-man roster. Some teams will use 50 guys during the course of a year. You know? 20,000 ever. It puts into perspective just how hard it is to get there, how much it should be respected when somebody gets there. I hate random, useless Twitter trolls like this Jamoke who got back to us when we said Ryan Terrio joins us next to talk about his great career and long list of Hall of Fame managers he played for throughout his career. And this random Twitter Jamoke, who I'm now giving oxygen to, said with his career, 17 career homers, his 691 OPS, he sure did have a, quote, great career. He's one of 20,000 people who ever got there, and he won two World Series. Come on, man. It's. I mean, have some understanding for what it takes to get there, and then the ability to stay there. They got jerks. I don't like jerks. Thankfully, we take phone calls and not only from jerks. Sometimes we talk to people like Ben in Queens, who joins us right now.
Ooh,
on
Speaks.
It and Run.
We actually have to not go to Ben, and we're going to go to Carlos Pena. How about that?
Ah, how about that? I'd love to go to Carlos Pena, as advertised. Love talking to Carlos Pena. And I know you've got an open. You've got a prepared open for it. You play it for Carlos Pena, Sean.
You traded Pena.
Roquel trying to keep it at just one run here in the inning. Pena with a big fly ball to dead center field. Cameron there, and that one is gone. Carlos Pena has cashed in with a Tampa Bay Grand Slam.
What's something you remember, like, going, wait a minute, people eat that?
I got acquainted with the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Pena hits a towering fly ball to left that carries and carries and carries. And he drives that one high in the air toward the monster. Gone! 2-0 Tampa Bay. Pena homered in the ninth. He homers in the first tonight. There's a drive. Belted down the right field line. That ball is gone. A two-run homer for Pena.
That is the third home run of this series for Pena.
Hold on a second. Throughout this demo, you might hear the word blackata a lot. Blackata is just an expression I used with my brothers when I was young to reflect good contact, usually resulting in a home run. So when you go deep, it means you went blackata.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yes, indeed. Carlos Pena joins us on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. See, we had prepared stuff for you, Carlos. We love talking to you. Welcome in. Good morning. How you doing?
Listen. I am pumped up. Honestly, just to hear that open, it's worth my time 100%, 300%, 500%.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And it reminds me of something I'd forgotten, because usually I think about something else that we talked about that I'll bring up later, but I forgot about the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because I had asked you, like, what was something that you coming from the Dominican and moving to Western Massachusetts at the age of 12, right? It was like, man, that's a culture shock. And you were like, what is this peanut butter and jelly? So now here's the question. When's the last time you had peanut butter and jelly? How long has it been?
Man, not too long ago. As a matter of fact, I would say within last week, I've had at least one peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It has to be one of the greatest inventions in the whole entire world. I have no idea how someone thought of it. I don't know if they were going, I'm going to go tart, I'm going to go sweet, I'm going to... I don't know. The combination is unbelievable. It really
is. It absolutely is. I'm convinced that that is... The best we can do with food is when we nail it like that with the salty and the sweet. Like I like pineapple in stir fry or even pineapple on pizza, which is very, very, very controversial here in Chicago. A chocolate covered pretzel, right? I mean, this is and I have a theory. It goes deeper. It's the sweet and the salty of life, Carlos. It is the acceptance of the good and the bad simultaneously that reaches us on a deeper level.
That is absolute. You speak with so much substance. You really do. That is so deep and so meaningful. And you are onto something. I'm like, who invented this? I don't know. But I forget that there are people out there that study culinary arts, that is their art. So whoever came up with the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, thank you. Thank you very much. We are extremely grateful.
All right, look, I know we could keep talking baseball, but now I have to ask you one more food thing because I feel like you're into it. So I always loved, and my mother always loved, the part around the edge of the lasagna or the macaroni and cheese that was like the extra cooked kind of burnt edges right there in the corner, you know, where like everything congeals. And my brother-in-law, who is Puerto Rican, when he makes rice, they call it the pegao. The pegao, it's on the bottom of the rice pan, and it's like where the rice hits the pan, and it's the same kind of thing. And then I found out, Carlos, every culture in the world that makes rice has a word for that. Every culture in the world has a word for that because that's where the goodness lies. So do you like that? Do you like that stuff? Was there something in Dominican culture? What is the word for that, if you know it? I don't know.
Are you kidding me? Let me tell you something, brother. This is just like the Dominican flag. This is something you learn when you're just a kid. If you are Dominican and you don't know what that is called, then you cannot call yourself a Dominican. Concon. Concon. That's the way we call it. Concon. you're making me hungry right now. I want some concon right now. I love that. That's one of my favorite parts about rice is concon, 100%.
All right, there we go, Concon. Okay, and now to baseball. Thank you, Carlos Pena, joining us here.
Are you sure?
On Hitting It. Yeah. No, I could go all day. I could go all day, man. So this Cubs lineup, offensively, we have been waiting for the lineup to be diversified in this town for a long time. Like, they've had a lot of the same kind of hitters that you could get with the high fastball and, like, the 12-6 curveball or whatever. And, like, a lot of people are susceptible to that, obviously. But now I enjoy watching this lineup when certain guys like Nico Horner or Sogard or Matt Duffy, just different kinds of hitters. How important is it to have those kinds of hitters to mix in with your power guys to make a lineup function?
It's absolutely huge. You know, look, so some days ago, I wrote something about where I made a presentation on the network, on MLB Network, about, you know, the importance of having a level swing and having a high probability swing and to stay on plane with the baseball so that you can put the ball in play. And man, if you have power, you're going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And you wouldn't believe how many people just came back at me like a little harsh, like, no one's teaching that. I'm like, come on, guys. There is a propensity for every single hitter to go up there and want to lift the ball. So naturally, your swing is going to have this loop because it makes perfect sense. I'm going to swing up to hit the ball up. So it's counterintuitive to stay level because you say, if I'm going to hit home runs, if I'm going to lift the ball, I have to just come underneath the pitch, right? And it doesn't quite work that way in physics and in the biomechanics of hitting. But that's a topic for another time. But there is a misunderstanding on launch angle. There is 100% on how to achieve an ideal launch angle. I love those guys, like Nico Horner, you know, that it's out there to hit a line drive right back up the middle. And maybe he doesn't have the power that Chris Bryant has, but even Chris Bryant has made adjustment in his swing to start from the top of the strike zone down. If you watch him in the on-deck circle, you see him warm up with this kind of high fastball level swing, and he works from the top down, And now you look at his numbers, you're like, oh, what happened? What adjustment did he make? He's trying to hit more line drives. He's trying to stay on top of that high fastball and work himself from the top of the strike zone down. Having that type of balance throughout the lineup really creates, you know, and I'm talking about having power guys, having contact guys, but it kind of having those conversations among yourselves, you know, that is conducive to production and run scoring. Look, the Cubs have come a long way. You can remember, if you go back to the beginning of the season, we were worried. I mean, it was a very worrisome time where we're like, okay, maybe this is this club is not going to bounce back. And yeah, look, now the Brewers are coming back down to life and the Cubs are getting back in the mix. That's what I'm talking about.
That's so cool. It's been great. And like the thing about Bryant that he says is that it's not necessarily even the practice of swinging down or even level. It's the thought because naturally your body is going to do the uppercut a little bit because especially how tall he is. But it's just you go up there with that thought, then all of a sudden it kind of evens out a little bit. That's so heavy to me. So then the question is, Carlos, we live in a league or we cover a league that is full of so much swing and miss. Could more people be making that kind of Bryant adjustment, which is just the mental thought of swinging down or making it more level? And would we see more contact if more people did that?
You do not understand perhaps the magnitude of what you just said, right? There, it's incredible. That's why I cannot get on Twitter too much, because honestly, I'll just get into arguments all day long and I'll waste my day. But this is the thing. It's not, I can tell a kid, hey, try to chop down on wood. Now I know 100% that kid is not really going to swing down. What that does is him having think that way, it's going to level up his swing slightly. So you almost bring it back towards the middle. So what you do is you over-exaggerate something or over-exaggerate a thought, and that allows you to kind of bring it back to where you need to be, right? And that's what Bryant is talking about. This is absolutely music to my ears and brilliant. So it's like, oh, you know, Alex Rodriguez was talking about, oh, you have to chop down at the baseball. And then they show a swing of him not doing that, kind of like having a slight uppercut. And they were like crushing him. I'm like, you guys are missing the point. What Alex is saying is what Bryant is saying. I want to swing down at the ball, even though I probably never will. But if I think that way, my swing is going to level up just slightly to where I want it to be. You're overcompensating, and you're kind of like retraining your neurological pathways. And we can go down that rabbit hole all you want, and we can go really deep. But it's very simple. What you just explained right there is awesome to hitters to understand that if you're late and you want to be on time, maybe what you need to think is, I need to be extremely early, like ridiculously early, and then maybe you'll be on time. You understand?
Yes.
So, yes, absolutely. If hitters were able to implement that type of thought, power hitters, Javi Baez, you know, if they would be able to implement that type of thinking, what's going to happen? Home runs are going to go up. Your average is going to go up. Your production is going to go up because you're making better and better contact more consistently, putting high probability swing. Heck, listen to me, because there's another thing that happens. Hey, Carlos, you struck out this many times in your career. What are you talking about? I'm like, brother, precisely. I'm telling you right now that instead of me hitting 286 home runs, sorry about that, 286 ain't bad, I would probably hit 350, you know? If I would, I only played for 14 seasons in the big leagues. Maybe I would have played for 18. All right. So this is the truth about hitting. And you just, this is music to my ears. I want more of those power hitters to kind of get back to that level swing or try to achieve that, because we're going to see a lot more Prakatas if they do.
See, and they probably won't lose as many home runs as they think they're going to lose because they're powerful and they're still swinging up physically as they do it. So this is the thing. All of these rules and ideas and innovations to put more balls in play, and something needs to happen. That's for sure. Whether it's the mound up, the mound back, it's the shift, it's a million different things. Some people say, the game will adjust back to itself. It adjusts back to itself. I'm afraid that it won't because guys get paid for home runs and guys are stubborn. But if they could, the game adjust back to itself and take care of itself and kind of level it off like it has historically? Or do we still need to do a little something to go along with it?
It could adjust back by itself, but this is the problem with that. It would take a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a long time of guys striking out, batting averages going extremely down, offense going extremely, extremely low, of us now trying to like figure out, let's back up the mound. It's like, wait a second, are we treating a symptom, or do we need to go to the problem? You know, we're trying to treat symptoms instead of saying, no, wait a second, your approach at the plate is not conducive to contact. So that's the quickest way to fixing this situation, where now pitchers, if you look at the last 2 years, they have increased their four-seam usage, right? The fastball usage at the top third of the zone by 10%. So it used to be like they only elevated fastballs around 30%. You know, now if you go back all to, you know, back to like 2009, around there, and now you have these pitchers trying to throw the ball up in the zone 40%. So it's like a 10% increase in the last few years, and that's a lot. So you get a lot more swings and misses. So it could fix itself. It just would take so long for these guys to suffer through struggles. That's the way I used to do it. I'm like, no, I know what I'm doing. And it wasn't until I was like, oh, for the century, that I was like, all right, coach, what do you got to say? Help me out. You know, instead of maybe listening the first time, it's like, hey, Carlos, you're late. Don't talk to me. I'm a big leaguer. I got here. You know, I know what I'm doing. Hey, man, let's make adjustments. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, so the human ego got in the way. Oh, yeah. That happens. It happens with everything, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Pena is our guest here on Hit and Run for just a couple more minutes. You can see Carlos on Marquee Sports Network doing some Cubs pre and post, and you see him on MLB Network. And just wonderful stuff here with Carlos. So that Plakata stuff that you were talking about in the demo, I remember the hitter that was in that demo. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Yeah, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He seems to be doing okay. This year, a 1.09 OPS, 13 homers, a .333 batting average. So is he a guy who is fusing those things of the sure, some launch angle, because that's natural, but he thinks the swing down as well?
Hey, my son absolutely loves Vladimir Guerrero Jr., by the way. So he's one of his favorite players. I believe that type of mentality, which is hit a line drive, back at the pitcher. And if you watch that demo again, he talks about that. He's like, you know what? What are you trying to do here? I'm just trying to hit the ball hard, right back up the middle. So then I ask him, are you trying to hit the ball out? He's like, no. I don't know where the ball's going. I just want to make solid contact. And, well, seems to be working for him. And I know he's made a lot of adjustments, a lot of work put into it, a lot of, you know, getting in shape and all that. But this is the mentality that he has at the plate. And look, he is more disciplined than his father by a landslide, right? So him having a better approach, I'm really excited. I was excited then, but it seems like in the last year and a half, he's kind of found himself, you know, with all that pressure that was on him. It was difficult to perform, but I think he kind of has settled. He's like, okay, I'm going to go do what I do. And his approach is pretty much a line drive approach. Guess what? He's hitting his own home runs. He's hitting for average. He is producing, bringing in runs. And look at the Toronto Blue Jays. Hey, man, they are a threat in that league. And that league is crunched together. All of them are in there. Yeah. But they are a threat. And you have to include the Blue Jays in the conversation.
Yeah, you do. That lineup is crazy. Yeah, your colleague Jim Deshays over at Marquee said, just a throwaway line, maybe Vlad Jr. got his plate discipline from his mother. That always made me laugh. Because right?
That is excellent. That is absolutely excellent. Perhaps it was not from dad.
No. He got a lot of stuff from dad. All right, and then I mentioned, Carlos, as we say goodbye, the other thing that I always think about when I think about talking to you, you had said that if we don't come out of this pandemic better – as a family, as people, then we're doing it wrong. So we're almost out of it. I've thought about that. My wife and I have actually talked about that, and I hope that you and your family are coming out of this healthier and better. As we emerge from this thing.
You know, I love to talk to you because you're a very thoughtful person, and it comes through in everything you do. If we have to go through this such a difficult time, and in a sense, we waste it and we don't grow from it, man, shame on us. Shame on us to go through so much suffering and difficulty and struggle and acquire absolutely zero growth from it. So the whole entire idea is, man, I really pray, and I feel that way personally, that we are now stronger, that we are now more appreciative and more grateful, and that we understand the importance of seizing the moment, of telling the people that you love today that you love them, you know, of doing the thing you love today, of being just a grateful person. Whichever growth it is, you know, whichever way you can measure it, then that is key. So I feel like in my family, we've gotten closer together. I think we appreciated, learned to appreciate each other more, and we've grown in strength. And I pray that it's the same thing for you, for your family, for everyone's family, and for us as a nation and as humanity as a whole, just that we've grown from this. That is absolutely key.
All right, man. A pleasure to talk to you, as always. One of my favorite guys to talk to. So thank you, Carlos. Thanks for calling in. And enjoy the day. Enjoy the season. And hopefully I'll see you in town at Wrigley one of these days this year.
I cannot wait. I'm actually going to be there this July, and that's the plan. That moment, it's going to be a big one for me. It's been a year and a half, 2 years since last time that we planned for me to be there. And I couldn't because of the situation. So really looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right, Carlos. Thank you so much. That's Carlos Pena right there on 670 The Score on Hit and Run. Mark Grody's up at the top of the hour. I'm Matt Spiegel. We'll put a bow on this thing next on The Score. Oh, 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 oh. Man, what a fun show this morning. Thank you to callers. And appreciate you, Ben and Queens, Stan from Bellwood. Didn't have a chance to get to you guys because Carlos Pena called back in. But man, I love talking to that dude. This story from this week is so amazing. And maybe you know some of the details, but I bet you don't know some of these quotes that I have to share with you. Jacob DeGrom, the undisputed best pitcher in baseball, gets a chance to pitch for Port St. Lucie, Class A Mets on a rehab stint. Okay, he faced 10 batters, and he struck out 8 of them. Maybe you know some of that, but some of the details are just unbelievable. First of all, because of the revamped minor league schedule, and because the new Mets Class A affiliate is so close to their minor league site or their spring training site, they are all going to rehab there. This week, Seth Lugo had a rehab stint against Palm Beach, okay, the Palm Beach Cardinals. They got Seth Lugo this week. Oh, that's pretty cool. Lugo's pretty good, said one of their players. Hey, he's a big league starter. He came out, he threw a 4-pitch first inning. Then he went down to the pen, and that was that. He's like, oh, that was uneventful. I wish we got to see him more. These are the Class A guys. Get a chance to see a big league pitcher like Seth Lugo. That's cool. And then they found out that the next night they were going to face Noah Syndergaard. So the same guys, the leadoff man, Mason Wynn. You'll hear his name a lot in these quotes. Mason Wynn said, ooh, we're getting Syndergaard? We were like, holy bleep, that's Noah Syndergaard, dog. Like, we're about to go face Thor. So they face Seth Lugo for 4 pitches, and then they get to see Syndergaard. And, you know, the other player, Beller, said, was like, well, we got an inning from Lugo. But then Thor goes out there, throws 4 innings, and carves. I've been to MLB games growing up and stuff, but being in the dugout, being able to watch Syndergaard was totally different. So he was out there looking like he was flipping it in a bullpen, just blowing dudes away, says that pitcher, John Beller, talking about facing Syndergaard. So that's their week already. These Class A guys get to see Seth Lugo and then Noah Syndergaard. And that dude's saying, it's like, well, I've been to MLB games, but that was different. So that's pretty cool. But then on Wednesday, the manager says, hey, guys, you're going to face Jacob DeGrom tomorrow. And they didn't believe it because it wasn't published anywhere. And then they look and they find out it's blowing up on Twitter. Jacob DeGrom will be making a rehab start against Palm Beach. And immediately that pitcher, Beller's like, you got to be bleeping me. You got to be bleeping me. I immediately knew it was going to be one of the coolest things I've ever experienced. Here's the then the leadoff hitter, Mason Winn, talking about getting ready to face DeGrom. We got a scouting report around 1 a.m. It said, DeGrom fastball, 100 to 102. Hold on. Mark Grody, would you mind if I'm a minute or two late? I want to read these stories. Mark Grody, these quotes. I love you, Mark Grody, but let me read these. We got a scouting report at around 1 a.m. It said, DeGrom fastball, 100 to 102. Slider, 94 to 95. So that was cool. Most people on the team went on to MLB The Show and pitched with him or hit against him just to see how he pitches. That's really all you can do because he's pretty much a video game character. And when you got up there at the plate, that's pretty much how it works. So DeGrom is in Palm Beach and news is spreading. They were at 20% capacity, but for the DeGrom game, they made more tickets available. And they knew the game was going to sell out, going to be a great atmosphere. Mason Winn says, I mean, it was Dollar Beer Thursday. It was already popping. But with Jacob DeGrom coming into town with low A ticket prices, I mean, come on now. We had drunk fans enjoying the hell out of themselves. It was great. And so there's Mason Winn. He led off. He fouled a pitch away. He looked up at the board and it said 100 miles an hour. So that was nice. Second pitch of the game was 102. Mason Winn made contact. He reached on a throwing error, so he's on base. He steals second base, and he said that Jacob DeGrom stared into my soul for about 5 seconds. Then I stole third, and he stared into my soul again. I won't even lie. He's a very intimidating dude. And then DeGrom just strikes everybody out. Mason Winn reaching third, far and away the closest the Cardinals got to scoring off of DeGrom. And all these guys talking about it, like, he's effortlessly throwing 100 miles an hour. I'll be able to tell my kids, my grandkids, that the guy with the Hall of Fame plaque in Cooperstown, I squared off against him. I had more strikeouts that day than Jacob DeGrom, says the opposing pitcher. So cool. So isn't that awesome? I love, it's Thursday night. So it was already popping. It's Dollar Beer Thursday. But with Jacob DeGrom in town? Come on. Mark Grody, thank you for your patience. I wanted to get those quotes in. What a fun hit and run. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Sean Anderson, for a great job. Thank you, Ryan Terrio. Thank you, Carlos Pena and Joe Roderick. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow and all week along with Danny Parkins on The Score for Parkins and Spiegel. Thank you, Groats. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.